serve a mighty God. I'll tell you, this message has been percolating inside of me for the last 2 months. And 2 days ago, I got sick. And I called Ralph yesterday and told him, I'm sorry, I won't be able to make it. And this morning, I got up, and I was confident that I could make it. And I went to the phone to call. And as I lifted up the phone, God spoke to me and said, if I did not preach this message today, it would not have any value at the end of the month, because this is my testimony. Jesus is the healer. God is a good God, and he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. And you know, the minute I rose up, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I resisted him in the mighty name of Jesus. Not because I'm so strong, I'm weak, but I'm strong in the power of his might, not my own. So the scripture that I started this message on, I want to pray first. Lord, I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your ability. And Lord, the words you've laid on my heart, I pray that you will minister them to many in this congregation. Lord, that their life would be revolutionized because of the word you gave me to give. So Lord, I just pray that ears and heart would be open to receive. To receive what you have to say in Jesus' name. The scripture that started me off was in Revelation 19 verse 10. Where it says, then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am your fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And you know, when we share what Jesus has done in our life, it is the spirit of prophecy, because it can affect many people when you speak them out. Declaring a testimony was the vehicle by which his promise would be transmitted to others in need. And you know, we don't often have testimony services anymore, but once in a while people share. I know I have received healing many times through somebody sharing a testimony of how Jesus delivered them. And so I want to go into a little bit of my life, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. One of the very first things I learned when I got saved was that he never changes. What he said yesterday, he will do today. We don't have to live in the past. We can live in the here and now. The Word of God is a now book. Whatever it says in there, we can do. I was raised up in religion where we believed in a God, but he was not real. He was not, it was like he was always ready to zap me every time I did something wrong. I was very sin conscious. Everything, I mean, one day I might make heaven, the next day I would miss it. And it, you know, when Jesus came in my life, I was full of fear. Fear of everything. I lived through a war where bombings were all around me, and that grew because I never dealt with it. And when I was 30 and cried out to Jesus to come into my life, he delivered me from that fear, most of it. But some of it had to go, because the Bible says that if I found the scripture in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. I apologize to my person on the thing because I'm jumping. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When I realized God had not given me this fear, that it was the devil, I could resist it in the name of Jesus. Psalm 118, verse 6 said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Your will is involved. This morning, my will was involved. And when we will to do what God says, God will take over and make short of our weaknesses. John 15, verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So in other words, if we read the word of God will clean us. When you've got a spirit of fear, a spirit of anything that's contrary to what the word of God says, the word of God, as you read it, it washes us and cleanses us from all those things. The word of God gives us deliverance. In Acts 10, verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So we can expect healing. We can expect to be delivered from oppression. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, there were certain keys that changed me. And a couple of them were, we would go to this, we were nuts. When we first got saved, we went to every Bible study we could think of. We went to every place. I mean, our kids, they sure didn't get enough sleep because we were always taking them somewhere. And Wendy would play her guitar and we'd worship all the way down there and worship all the way back and had a veil of a time. Well, anyway, this preacher sat one night at the Bible study and he said to pray without ceasing, like the word of God says, meant for him to when somebody comes to him with a need or a prayer request, to pray for them immediately. Not just to say, I'll pray for you, because a lot of times people forget to pray, right? But to pray. And so we would, and that went, that was, you know, the spirit of prophecy. That was a prophetic word for me. I grabbed a hold of that word. And I made up my mind. And now, I wasn't the way I am now. I was very shy and backwards. I mean, I often say God had to dig at the bottom of the barrel to fight my husband and myself for ministry. That's why I believe each one of you, where you're sitting now, you have a ministry that God wants to use you for. It's not just sitting in the pew. You all have a sphere of influence that I don't have, but you have. And when you share in your very simplest way something that God has done for you, that doesn't mean you walk up to somebody and say, repent, for you're going to go to hell. No. You look for an opportunity. You make conversation with a person. And you know, if you're looking for an opportunity, you will always find something in that person's word that you can just very quietly share what Jesus has done in your life without being obnoxious about it. So I made up my mind that night that whenever anybody came with me, it was very nice sitting there in my pew thinking that. Now that's good. I will start doing that. Well, when the service was over, this lady came to me, and she had more needs than you could shake a fist at. I knew all her needs, and she started telling me all her needs again, and the Lord was telling me, you need to pray, and I, I didn't dare to. And then, why, all of you, some of you remember my husband, he would say, Frida! And I'd run, you know. Well, praise the Lord, he said, Frida! And I thought, shh, I'm off the hook. But then he started talking again, and she kept on talking. So then finally I said, okay, Lord, let me pray for you, Margaret. And I prayed. It was probably the stupidest prayer I've ever prayed in my whole life, but I obeyed, and God heard me. And you see, that opened the door. After that, I became bolder and bolder and bolder. And you know, that put me in the place where I've been all these years. It's because I took what little I had, which was very little. I was so scared to speak in public that if I read anything aloud in public, my voice would sound like I was crying. That's how nervous I was. And yet, good God took me from that place. He used the little I was willing to give him and use it for his glory. The next thing, we went to a church, and the minister there said to, in his message one day, that when testimony time came, and you had a testimony, and you didn't say it, then you, if you said it, should say it the other way. If you said it, it could be the key to the service. Well, that was another word. You see, when we say something, these guys don't ever know what they've said, how it changed my life. But it was just a thing that was kind of set off the cuff, and that came back to haunt him after. But anyway, because we were in a place where we had an awful lot of needs. So I'm going to sit down for a minute. We had an awful lot of needs, and so it was really easy to give in, to just give up. But, you know, God was doing miracles because we were expecting miracles. We thought, now we know this God who does miracles, we can do miracles. I know we were so poor that we wouldn't have even been able to afford to go bankrupt. And because you had to pay a lawyer to go bankrupt, and we didn't have the money. And you could do it illegally and borrow the money and then go bankrupt, but we didn't want to do that. So we didn't go bankrupt. We were believing God. And I remember my husband standing at the door of the church shaking hands, and this lady came up, and she had all kinds of problems. And she says, well, it's all good for you. He says, oh, let me pray. God is good. God will meet your need. Oh, it's good for you. You've got everything going for you. And, you know, it's God did supply our needs. We never went without. We never went bankrupt. We came out of it victoriously. But it was by believing God for a miracle. So our testimony could be the key to the service. Well, we had a testimony every Sunday. And it wasn't one that was 40 years ago. It was one that had happened just that week. And, you know, it got so that actually the minister approached us and said, you know, you're making people feel like they don't ever get a miracle from God. So could you just tone it down a bit? So that was the week, and we've shared that testimony before, when we were pig farmers, and we had rhinitis in the barn, which pretty well gets rid of your crop. Then the noses are crooked. That's what's the problem, and the pigs can't eat properly. And so when a very Monday, I listened to a radio TV program, and it showed how you can, if you have headaches, it could be that one of your limbs is shorter than the other. And so I checked because I had constant headaches. And yeah, definitely, one arm was shorter by this much. So when my husband came in from the barn, I says, you got to pray for me. And you got to speak to the arm. You don't need to pray. Just speak to that arm. And that arm's going to come out. And he felt a little silly, but he did. He spoke to that arm. And it popped out. And very seldom do I have a little bit of a headache, but I never have headaches anymore. But I got so excited about it. We went, me with my apron, he in his barn clothes, we went to visit some friends that were having trouble. We left one laying on the floor, she got slain in the spirit. The next one we went, they said, don't pray for us. And then we thought, well, if he can speak to arms, why can't we speak to pigs' noses? So we were so sure that God was going to do it that we waited till all the kids came home from school. We had four of our own and three foster kids. And we said, come on, kids, we're going to the barn. We're going to have prayer service there. We're going to pray for these pigs and speak to their noses. Command them to straighten out in Jesus' name. And we did that. And you know how you sometimes feel somebody is watching you and you don't know who it is? And so we looked up, and here was somebody from Minor Feats who was a missionary in Africa, was just home on leave. And he got all excited. He says, can we join you? I said, sure, more the merrier. So we prayed for all our pigs, and we did okay. But the next Sunday in church, he went to the same church we did to, and he went to the church, and he couldn't testify because we were told not to. So he got up, and he said, you'll never believe what happened to me this week. So you see, the Lord has his way. But that was, we believe God every moment of the day. And you see, God wants to take what little you have. You have a ministry. You have a sphere of influence of people that you can reach that I could never reach. I'm way too straight-laced and everything else, so it doesn't work for me. But you can do it. And, it says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You know, I believe it was a scripture, but I can't find it anywhere. But it says we are all able ministers of the new covenant. We are able ministers. We can do it. God is. But this actually says the same thing. We're his ambassadors. We're representing God's kingdom here on earth. And don't think I have to be this way and that way. I've got to be more fluent. You should have seen how unfluent I was when I started all of this. I was scared of my own shadow. And yet I landed up praying for people in grocery stores, in post offices, in bank, whatever, wherever I found them. And you know what? Most people were very receptive to it. If you prayed. And so I believed. I'm going back again. I'm sorry, I'm skipping. Sorry, Levi, I'm giving you a hard time. No, Judah, I'm giving you a hard time. James 1:23, verse 25. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law, and perseveres, being not a hearer but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So you're to be a doer of the word. What does that mean? Mark 16, 17 and 18 says this. And these signs will follow them that believe. Is that the minister? No. The elders, the deacons? No. These are people that believe. It says these signs will follow us. They don't run ahead of us. It's so easy. It would be so easy to pray for somebody if God healed them, and then we go and pray. That would not be handy. But we have to go. And it says these signs will follow believers. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. See, we need to go out. We need to do the work. We need to be a doer of the word. To do the word is now, if somebody comes to you with a need, lay your hands on, just say very nicely, do you mind if I pray for you? Do you know the Lord? Or I don't even say that. I usually say, I believe in God, and I know God still heals people. Can I pray for you? And I just had it in the chemo ward the other day. It was a guy, and he was all worried about the results of his test. So I says, can I pray for you? And he says, oh, yes. So I prayed for him. I think he was kind of shocked. But you know what? He was right beside Nick in the chemo room. And when he grabbed a hold of me and he said, you know, it was good. I got a good report. So, you know, prayer works, and at least God got the glory for it. There was a song we used to sing when we were just young Christian. It was this: oh, to be his hands extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. I really, truly believe that what that song said, it was my responsibility as part of the body of Christ to draw us close to Jesus in order to be his hands extended. That I would be his hands. See, God doesn't use angels. He uses us. And he knows none of us are perfect. We look at some people, Nick and me were talking about it this morning. We look at some people and we say, you know, I mean, how can God possibly forgive them? But you know what? God does forgive because he is a great God. And he doesn't want us to go to hell. He wants us to be forgiven. And he wants to use us. And you know, we look at sin, this one is a bigger sin than that sin. But sin is sin. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus already paid for all of your sins, what you have done and what you're going to do, because you're sure going to do it. But, you know, he's already paid the price for it. And he doesn't want you to sin, but he wants you to receive his grace. His grace will keep you from sinning. It will protect you. It will draw you out of it instead of into it. You know, it doesn't mean that because of grace we can just go and live like the world. No, we pray for the grace of God, and it will keep us as much as we allow him to out of that sin nature. The reason we saw miracles is that we were actively believing for them. You know, when I grew up, the pulpit was the Holy of Holies. I mean, you didn't even stand behind a pulpit unless you were an ordained minister with some initials by your name. And to be honest with you, if I'd ever had a problem, the last person I would have gone to was the minister. Because he seemed like he was a little bit higher than the rest of us. And he probably could not understand anything that I was going through. When I got saved, I realized that a minister is really important. He is the shepherd of the flock. We come in here, we listen to him, and he encourages us. I know week after week when I sit there in the back, I get so encouraged by the word that Pastor Ralph preaches. There isn't a week that I don't go home with something that I can build myself so that we can go out and do the work of the ministry. Not to sit in a pew and let it all water down until the next week and then come up and get kind of stirred up again. No, we start to need to put into practice that word that you've received. Let it flow through you. Start doing it, and then you become fruitful. We went maybe to the extreme, but I think today we have reversed again to the other way, where we kind of think it's up to the minister to do all the work. You know, we are responsible. We are responsible for the people that we sit beside, that we meet, their lives we touch. God didn't bring them across your path for no reason at all. He brought them across your path for a purpose. I don't care how old you are. I know God has a purpose for your life. If you're still breathing, he's got a purpose for you. And you need to fall into it. And I'm going to share some miracles that we experienced. One that I can never forget about this time of the year is our twins. They celebrate their 52nd birthday next week. When they were born, God said, "You have two dead children by the end of the day." Their doctor said, "No." Their doctor said, "You'll have two dead children by the end of the day." Today, the Lord gave my husband a scripture. We weren't even saved. We were religious, but we weren't saved. And he said, "They'll die and not live." They'll die. I'm in the upside down world today. "They'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." And this year, today, they were both glorifying God in the music ministry. So they're still doing what God called them to do. And we praise God for that miracle. There was Cole, who they said might never be able to sit up, might never roll over, might never even do all those things. Today, he's sitting in church, 6 foot something. He's tall and slim, and he does lots. He plays baseball, and he does lots of things. He was graduated from high school this week, a couple of weeks ago, and just great. We're still believing for the rest of it. But he's come a long, long way. And so we're thankful. And it was through Cole that God told me about his love. Because Cole could not talk the first few years of his life. And my husband and me, we had to go and preach in another church that Sunday morning. And I would always, they lived in the same house with us. So I walked across into their place, and he was up by himself. And anyway, he was up by himself downstairs. And I came and hugged him, and I said, "Oh, Grandma loves you, Coley. Grandma loves you." And I did that every morning. And that morning, Cole looked up at me, and he said to me, "I love you, Graham." You know, my heart just about popped out of my body. I was so thrilled. But then what thrilled me even more than that, as God spoke to me, and he says, "You know how you feel right now? That's how I feel when every child of mine finally surrenders their life to me. That love, I would have given him everything I had at that point, because he expressed with his own voice the love he had for me." And it was such a lesson. It's never left me alone. My husband was a tea lover, and we had a metal teapot, and he'd come home from the barn, and I'd have that metal teapot on the coffee table, and he'd have his cup of tea. Well, we also had a German shepherd who was quite happy to see him, and so I just made the pot of tea, and with his tail going, he knocked the hot teapot off the coffee table onto my husband's leg. And it was boiling. And he was in agony, and we prayed. You know what? He put his boots on, went back to the barn. When he came out of the barn, there was no blisters, no red. Nothing was there. That was God. It was a miracle. See, it doesn't have to be anything big. We do the little things. You start practicing in your house to pray when people have a problem instead of waiting. I had trouble with my hips. I got pictures. You know, you get mental pictures. Even though you believe in healing, you get mental pictures. My mother had arthritis really bad, and she had to have a hip replacement. And I got these mental pictures because it just wouldn't go away. My hip felt like it was mush. And I was like that for a couple of years. And even my husband got worried, which he never did. He just didn't get worried. But he started worrying about it. So then I got worried. But anyway. And we were doing full gospel businessmen by that time. And he always wanted me to help pray for people in the healing line. I thought to myself, what good am I going to be praying for people when I'm this mess? And I cried out to God and I said, Lord, how can I pray for anybody when I'm in this mess? And God spoke to me, when were you healed? Ooh, when I prayed. And you know, I received that. And it wasn't immediate, but a couple of weeks later, it was totally gone. It's never come back. So God is good. Provision. We need a provision. Boy, did we need provision. We had some. I received a book when I was just saved called Hey God. And it was a little Italian lady that every time she wanted to preach the gospel, so she would invite all these people to her house. And whenever she didn't have enough food, she'd say, hey, because she was a good Catholic lady before. And she'd say, hey, God, this is what I need. And God would supply her need. Well, we were poor, but I always wanted to invite everybody over for dinner. So we had usually 25 to 30 people over for dinner after church on Sunday. And I would just pray for God to multiply the food. You know, you have gifts. One of my gifts was I could cook for big crowds. So, you know, I could be very economical in the way I cooked for big crowds. So I could easily invite a lot of people. And I did with what I had. And one thing I had was a steel picnic table that we put out in our dining room and then our dining room table, and then we put all these people around it. It was kind of comical. I've got a minute yet. And we had this silver carafe that some ministry had sent us. And it was kind of pretty. And my coffee pot, well, we had to use the silver carafe because the coffee pot wasn't big enough for that crowd. So I would serve ice cream cones for dessert because we didn't need dishes for that, right? It was easier. And we had this big stainless steel, was kind of like a dish pan, but it was stainless steel. It was kind of banged up. But I'd make a big casserole dish in that. So that was sitting on my table. And the coffee crafts. And I walked into my dining room one day, and I know Nick, Bob had brought this guy from work to the church. And he had some mental problems, but he thought 20,000 Mennonites were after him. So we invited him for dinner all the time. And he'd always be dressed perfectly in his suit and tie and everything. And I walked into my dining room and I see the silver carafe, the stainless steel dish pan, and this guy licking his ice cream cone. And I said, dinner at the pastor's. But, you know, God uses the gifts that you can. Now, just a number of years ago, very shortly, I was at a meeting. And I sat at the head table with the pastors. And one of them talked to me, but I didn't know him. And then the person that we had the meeting with passed away, so I was at her funeral. And this guy came up to me and said, I wondered if you were going to be here today. And I says, well, why? He says, well, don't you know who I am? I says, no, I have no idea. I know I sat with you at the head table the other day. No, he says, years ago, he says, I visited your church. I was a hippie. And he says, you invited us for dinner. And he explained my dining room exactly the way it was. And he says, today, I'm pastoring a church in Buffalo. He says, I never forgot that. So he says, you didn't know me from Adam, but you invited. So you don't know. Now, that was one seed that showed that I heard about. Like, and I'm sure there's others, but you don't know the seed that you sow, what effect it has on people's lives. So you need to follow after it. Tithing was a big thing. We were always broke. And, you know, you got big amounts in for the pigs, but, you know, you couldn't. How do you figure out? We were operating at a loss. And God spoke to both of us, which he had to do to both of us, to tithe 10% off every check that came in. So we did that in faith. And, you know, we never ran without. We've done better ever since. We had a disaster in the church, and a lot of people were gone. And one church had started another place, and we were there. And then people were really discouraged, and we didn't know what to do. But we had to go and preach somewhere in Oshawa. And they had a satellite dish, and so we were looking at it kind of just out of interest, you know, show interest for it. The next Monday, the guy called us up, and he says, can you give a donation receipt? I says, oh, yeah, we can. He says, well, I'd like to donate towards your own satellite dish, which was a big thing at the time for churches. And so I said, oh, praise the Lord, that's exciting. Like, actually, we weren't even that crazy about getting satellite, but it was just that the Lord was answering, encouraging us, you know. So I thought, well, 500, maybe 1,000. And the whole sat, when we picked up the check in the mailbox that week, we just sat there and cried and worshiped God, because it was the whole amount of what the satellite dish would cost. And it wasn't so much the satellite dish as God saying to us, hey, kids, I am with you. I've never left you, never forsaken you. Church, when we took it over, was in great debt. We'd had a supernatural spender as a pastor for a while. And we didn't, at that time, we had Q's and us. And I think there was 28 people, but 10 of them were 10 Brinkies. And we were poor. And yet, God met our need. We paid off that building. We bought a building in town. We paid that off. We bought this school. We paid it off. And then we moved from the church into the school. And so God was faithful. God was faithful. We've supported churches all over the world. We've supported different ministries in Canada and the States. And so, protection. We were in a snowstorm on the Queen Elizabeth one time, and there was cars in the ditch all over the place. We're coming back. We had a couple that weren't saved in the car with us. And we got to the Skyway Bridge, and all of a sudden, everything stopped. There was a total, you know how they have those 40 or 50 car. And when we saw it happening, both Ralph and myself, we just broke out in tongues and prayed. And you know, the cars in front of us were all touching, the cars behind us all were, but we had absolutely nobody touching our car in front or behind us. That's God's protection. See, God is faithful. I prayed for a woman one day who had to go for surgery because her organs were in the wrong place. She couldn't have a baby. And I prayed for her at that time. And you know what? 9 months later, she had a baby. She never needed the surgery. My husband prayed for a guy who was new in the church. We didn't know him at that time. And we prayed, I'm sure some of you can remember it. We prayed for him to be healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. What we didn't know, he just had a vasectomy. And 9 months later, he had a baby. So be careful what you pray for. Our own Linda Moody was diagnosed with breast cancer over 20 years ago now, and she's still with us today. We're so excited. God is good. I think in my own lifetime, I've seen cast out devils, 3 major deliveries that I've watched myself. And you know what? It's all because I took the little God gave me. Like I said, God had to really dig in the bottom of the barrel to get to us, to use us. But God says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers. Those laborers are you, and you, and you. Wherever you are, you've got a job to do. You have a responsibility for the people that you come in contact with. That your life, it talks somewhere about women leading their husbands to the Lord, that without speaking, which us ladies sometimes get in trouble for, we like to nag, without speaking, by our behavior and attitude, we can lead that man to the Lord. And that's the same with other people in our life. By the way we live our lives, by the attitudes we have, we can be instrumental to bring those to the Lord. So I pray that today, pray right now, Lord, I pray that this word will go deep into the hearts of the people, that, Lord, they will take their position in the body of Christ, that they will serve you with their whole heart, that they will become sensitive to the needs around them, and to realize that they are your hands extended on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.